Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Christina Mislan. She's an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. Hi, Christina.
Hello, Sonali.
Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee has just approved Loretta Lynch's nomination for Attorney General, but clearing the way for her to pass a full Senate vote. The vote was a narrow win for a candidate who came under fire for her decision some years ago not to prosecute one of the world's largest banks, HSBC, for money laundering while she was Attorney General of New York. Meanwhile, outgoing Attorney General Eric Holder announced that he would soon ask Congress to lower the bar on federal civil rights prosecutions. On Tuesday, the Justice Department said it did not have enough evidence to prosecute George Zimmerman for the death of Trayvon Martin. And in a few weeks, a similar announcement is likely coming on the shooting death by Darren Wilson of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. Holder said on Thursday, quote, there needs to be a change with regard to the standard of proof. Well, Christina, does it seem as though the high hopes that many had for the position of Attorney General under the Obama administration were being dashed? And do you think Loretta Lynch could be any more progressive than Eric Holder?
Well, I think first we need to be clear about what Lynch's nomination means. And I think, you know, the fact that we will have the first African-American woman to be Attorney General, one, is symbolic in itself. So I don't want that to get lost in the conversation. Now, on the other hand, yes, we should also think about the politics here. And I don't want to compare or try to assume what Lynch would do as Attorney General in comparison to Holder. I think, you know, with Holder, it took us a while to see him take some of the steps that he has taken in a couple of years. So I think, you know, maybe I'm being a little bit optimistic here, but maybe we should wait a little bit before we just completely lose all hope of having someone be at least just as progressive, maybe. But then again, I think Obama's presidential election gave us a lot of hope, and we've kind of lost some of that as well. So I think it's going to take time to see how this all plays out.
Two right-wing political action committees, or PACs, are holding meetings. CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee, is starting its gathering today. And every major Republican presidential candidate, such as Jeb Bush and Scott Walker, are expected to make speeches and win over important constituents. The New York Times called CPAC, quote, a proving ground for Republican contenders in connecting with and inspiring the most enthusiastic, organized elements of the conservative base. And APAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, is also meeting in a few days. The Obama administration just announced that it would send advisor Susan Rice and UN Ambassador Samantha Power to the conference as representatives in a conciliatory move over recent tensions with Benjamin Netanyahu's visit. Well, Christina, do these two meetings represent the power of the right to organize? I mean, the left has no such gatherings, do they? Imagine a Palestinian rights event to which Obama sent representatives.
Yes, no, that would never happen. But I think, look, often in this country, we have this conversation where people will say, well, the United States is becoming more conservative. And I just don't think that's true. I think it is what you're talking about here is that there is a right-wing power. And really, these are the people that are deciding the politics of this country. And these are, I mean, I saw a picture, I think it was in the New York Times, and it was a roll of nothing but white men. And so I thought, well, this is who's deciding what this country looks like and what it does and its practices and its politics and its political agenda. So I think, if anything, we definitely should be concerned about the fact that it's these super powerful right-wing organizations that are deciding where this country is going and not representative of what the public actually looks like and believes.
And finally, the Federal Communications Commission, in a 3-2 vote yesterday, passed rules that are in line with net neutrality. After a year of intense lobbying by rights groups, FCC Chair Tom Wheeler last year came under fire for proposing a two-tiered system that would empower major cable companies, prompting a firestorm of criticism from those who want a level playing field. While the new rules are not yet public, they're expected to enshrine the internet as a public utility rather than an information service. Services for smartphones and tablets will also fall under the regulations alongside wired communications. The rules will also include broadband access to rural communities and people with disabilities and protections of consumer privacy. Conservatives have lambasted the vote, with Fox News calling it, quote, the worst example of government intervention ever. Well, Christina, progressives are celebrating this decision. How important is it for causes dear to the left?
Yes, we are celebrating. Yesterday, I thought to myself, about time. I think, you know, for the past, since Reagan's administration, we've seen the FCC continuously deregulate, or as some people would say, regulate, but for some people's interests, right? For basically big conglomerates' interests. And so in the past few decades, we've seen this trend. And finally, I think there is something to say, well, maybe, you know, the FCC is finally doing something good. I mean, we're talking about the elimination of things like the Fairness Doctrine and the Act of 1996 that basically has allowed us to have the big five media conglomerates that we have today. And so the FCC this week has taken a really important step, hopefully, at least in the case of the internet. Look, you know, this country, we go and we tell everyone else, well, the internet is important for upholding democracy, but we can't really continue that line of logic if in this country itself it's not being upheld as this tool for democracy. And so it's really important.
Thank you so much, Christina Mislan. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Our Daily Newsflash guest expert, Christina Mislan, is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.